Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For now is the time for my people to begin to build. To build a new generation. To begin to truly draw the young and to build generationally. It's time to build. It's time to build. And Robert and Eleanor, before you gave us freedom to minister the word, I heard the word Navajo Nation. I heard the words Navajo Nation. I don't know if you've been trying to break through, but the doors are going to open. Amen. There you go. I had no idea. But God said even greater doors for that nation. For there are some things that need to be broken, and the gift that's locked up within you will cause the wheels to begin to turn. The Navajo Nation. The Navajo Nation. It's of God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. Remember, I've told you before that God is speaking through the worship. He's speaking through the faces of your brothers and sisters, the hugs, the warmth in the room. He saturates a place where his people are gathered to worship him. And there's different combinations of people coming every week, but there's a core group. And the core group helps to set the atmosphere by their worship. And it draws in those that are new or new to us, and they join in with the atmosphere created by the Holy Ghost. And so I want to encourage you, when you come to these meetings, immediately begin to tap into what God is doing in the faces of your friends, those sitting next to you. And then listen to what the worship is. What's been the common theme of the worship this evening? Love. Oh, how he loves us. It was mentioned a number of times. And then our brother Bill Vesey, whom I want to welcome you and your dear family, he brought this word, now is the time. I pay attention when God says now is the time. What is he saying? Now, you know, now, not a year from now, not 10 years from now, not yesterday, now. And my ears pick up when I hear anything that has to do with timing, because I am praying to discern the signs of the times. That's part of discerning the signs of the times, is discerning it in a meeting and listening to the words that are being delivered. And Brother Vesey delivered this word from the Lord. It is time for my people to build a new generation, to draw the younger generation and to build generationally. And I believe that's a true word from the Lord. And then he turns to Eleanor and Robert without knowing that they've been ministering on the Navajo reservation, and he tells them, he hears the word Navajo Nations and doors will begin to open. But here's something I heard for you too. He said there are some things that need to be broken on the Navajo reservation he was talking about. But he did say there are some, that gift locked up in you. Can we unlock that gift? Come on. I really feel personally that I want to pray for that gift to be unlocked in them, because there is such a powerful flow of the Holy Ghost that's inside Robert and Eleanor Roll. So if something's locked up, man, we need that unlocked. So I want you to stand. We're going to pray for Robert and Eleanor right now, because that word, I believe in acting on the word as if God was speaking And if God is speaking, I want us to act on the word in faith. And if God says he wants to unlock the gift, let's unlock the gift. Let's agree with what God is saying. Extend your hands to Robert and Eleanor. Who really feels they'd like to come? Bill, you and your wife, get over here and lay hands on them. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is this on tape? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for Robert and Eleanor Roll. They have been given to us as a gift, Father, and we release them as a gift to the Navajo Reservation, to the Navajo people, the largest Indian reservation in the United States. And we pray that their gift will flow on that reservation. They will find great favor. And Father, I pray you'll unlock that gift right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever's locked up in them, unlock it in Jesus' name. Cause it to flow. Cause it to flow. Cause it to flow. Whatever has caused it to be stifled, open it up. Release it, Lord. Release it. Release a fresh river inside of them. A fresh river of the Holy Ghost. A fresh river of love. A fresh river of revelation. A fresh river of oil and wine in Jesus' name. Massive deliverance, Lord. Release massive deliverance. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
And as you go back on the reservation, young people will be drawn to you. And I'm not just talking about little ones. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about 20s and 30s. They will be drawn to you because of that unlocked gift. Where those that have been strayed away, those that have been just literally thrown away, they will be drawn to you. They will be drawn to you. The gift that God has placed in you will draw the young to you. They will draw you. It will be drawn to you. They will be drawn to you. Oh, God.
There is no one like our God. He said he's pouring out fresh wine and oil tonight. Receive his fresh wine and oil. Drink it in. Drink it in. Drink it in. He's pouring it out, and he's pouring it out so that you can get to the place of healing, so you can be healed. And he's making you healed. He's making you be healed so you can be healing for the nations. He said that you will no longer be snared, no longer trapped, no longer wounded, no longer vexed. For he has come to make you whole this day. There's a timing word. This day he's come to make you whole. Even those of you who have struggled with a father figure, he's going to heal that place in you that has struggled with the father figure. Whew. Man is not the one who will make you whole. He said, I will give you revelation. He said, your heavenly Father is clean. He's holy, he's pure, and he has the best in mind for you. And he wants to give you revelation of who I am and who you are in me, saith the Lord. It's the word of the Lord to you tonight. God wants to bring you revelation. Not only revelation of him, but of who you are in him. Just lift up your hand now. You just start to receive that. That's a word of promise to you. And he said, this night, this day, drink it in. Whew. Come on. Come on. More, Father, more, Father, more. Surrender to him. The next word that came said, surrender, surrender, surrender. Be free. As you surrender, you will be free and you will wage war. Surrender. Surrender. Whoa. Lord, please be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Now that the Lord has poured in some fresh oil, some fresh wine, He has always saved the best wine for last. Now, the next way that God is going to make himself known to you is through his word. So listen with the ears of a discipled learner, one who knows the Father will speak to you through his word. He has a message for you tonight, or you wouldn't be here. You are here so he can speak to you directly through his word. Would you open your Bibles, please? Or your electronic Bible. Your iPad, your iPhone, your whatever. It all works. It's all anointed. I have a scripture for you tonight. God is pouring out revelation like crazy these days. It's really an amazing time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. My goodness, I love this. When you can feel that fresh revelation stirring in the very atmosphere, and you barely pray and the answer comes. I love this season that we're pressing into. Now, I know there's a lot of fear on the land, but that's not on us. Perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. All fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear takes root in the natural, the physical body. It'll cause you, your adrenal glands, to shoot off a chunk of adrenaline into your system, and the fight or flight syndrome kicks in, and you either want to run, right, or fight. However, God is greater than your adrenal glands. Father, we just bless your word. The power of your word can break any chain of fear in this place. That's part of your healing of your people. Therefore, Father, bless the word that comes forth. Bless the hearers. Cause them to hear what they need to hear. Shift perceptions, Father, so that their thought life lines up with the truth of the word. And let them govern their lives by the word of faith, not by the lies and fear. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Many years ago, my husband used to work out of town. And one night he was working down in Kenai. And in the middle of the night, I heard the glass in our front door break and shatter. And I was wide awake. My heart was pounding like crazy. And what caused the pounding? And it was triggered by the adrenal glands, right? It triggered the fight or flight syndrome. And so here I am in bed, my heart's pounding, I have children in the house, and we're alone. And so I got ready to get up, race in, grab my children, hide in the closet or something. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I knew somebody was breaking in that front door. And here came this scripture. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I thought, oh, okay. So I lay back down, and the fear was a physical thing hovering over me. What was that? God has not given you the spirit of fear, but what has he given you? Power, love, and a sound mind. Tonight is the night of love. And that love is powerful enough to drive out all fear. So I quoted that scripture to my heart that was still pounding because adrenaline had flooded my system. And adrenaline you have to flush it from your body. So here's how I flushed it from my body. perfect love casts out all fear. Fear, you have to go. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear, you have to go. Perfect love casts out all fear. And suddenly the fear lifted off me and left. No more adrenaline. No more shaking. I fell sound asleep. God is sending us something tonight. He's sending us an overcoming word. The kind of word that will sustain you when everyone around you can be terrified. You will be calm in the midst of a storm. Storms will come. The word of the Lord says that the days that we're coming into will be difficult days. They will be hard. There'll be times when you're wondering where your next meal will come from. God always provides for his children. The word of the Lord says, I have been young, now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Even your children, God will make provision for your children. There's a level of faith that God is calling us to face that which we know is coming. And many of the prophets are seeing it in all different ways. And it's always catastrophic. But our God is greater than anything that can hit this planet because he is fully in charge. Remember, he is the only God. There is no other. The devil is not a God. He is not. He's a created, fallen being. And he has been totally conquered at the cross. And the victory has been given into the hands of a blood-bought church. And it delighted the Lord to give you that victory. So, we're coming into a season that people are fearful of. I am not afraid. Because perfect love casts out all fear. What is perfect love? This is what we are going to look at tonight. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, those of you who have heard me teach before, you know when I teach from this scripture, I always focus on prophecy because that's one of my gifts. And so I teach a lot on prophecy so people will know they can do it, they can step out, they'll be bold, and they'll desire it. Now remember, I say this almost every time I read this scripture, this is not a suggestion. This is what's called an imperative command. He is saying to you, number one, he's giving you instructions. Pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, especially prophesy. He's giving you three commands in that one little sentence. And I want you to know, when God gives a command, a wise child obeys. Now, that word love, that's a certain kind of love. It's agape love. That's the Greek word for it. A-G-A-P-E. This kind of love is eternal. This love has no beginning and it has no ending. There are different kinds of love. There's a Greek word called philanthropeia, from which we get the English word philanthropy. It literally means a lover of mankind. That has a beginning and that has an ending. There's another Greek word for love, phileo. It's brotherly love. It's when you're kindly affection, you have kind affection for someone or you're fond of them. They're a dear friend and you're just happy to see them. That's a good kind of love to have, phileo. That's what Philadelphia is named after that. Did you know that? Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. It's because it's the root is this word, phileo. And John 15:19 teaches us about that kind of love. I want to read that to you because I thought this was interesting. John 15:19. If you were of the world would phileo its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Phileo love is love that is very conditional. Phileo love says that you have to be like the one who is loving you or they stop loving you. It's conditional. It has a beginning and it has an ending. The world's love is always phileo. They can be fond of you if you agree with them. But the minute you disagree, all of a sudden you are a low-down, dirty, rotten dog. Trust me, I've been there. Any of you been on the receiving end of that kind of love? You know, you're suckered in thinking, oh, they love me. Oh, we have a tight relationship. Brothers forever. We'll go to war together. Until you vote differently. Or until you don't quite agree with something. And then all of the sudden this deep affection just dries up and blows away and is gone. There's another kind of love. There are actually, I found four different words for this, and I'm not going to focus on this a lot. One of the words is Dod, the other one is Ahab, another word is Eros. This is that sexual love. This also has a beginning, usually right around 13, 14, and it has an ending. This love gets particularly hot at certain times, and you know it's going to be eternal. You pledge this Eros love forever. I mean, that's a good thing to do, you know, in your marriage relationship. But it usually lasts about 6 months to a year into the marriage. You know, it's called the honeymoon period of the marriage. It's that intense, crazy love, Eros. And then it begins to fade. It's not a bad thing for it to fade because there's a better love that has to rise. You have to step into the better love. If you are constantly looking for that sexual love, you will constantly be defeated and disillusioned and angry. And I mean, look at some of these movie stars that will go from spouse to spouse to spouse. I mean, some of them 8 and 9 husbands or wives, because they're always looking for that elusive Eros love. It doesn't last. It ends. It really does end. That's also a temporal love of the world. But this love, 1 Corinthians 14, agape love, does not end. Listen to what it means in the lexicon. It means God's willful direction and focus on man. Now, what does that mean, willful? Intentional, by his choice. He chose. I mean, come on. What do we have to that would make us a love object of the only God in existence? You know, some of us are balding. Some of us have a paunch. I guarantee you every morning some of you have dragon breath. Come on. You know, we have all kinds of physical, emotional, and mental shortcomings. However, God looked at you. And, oh, my goodness, you did something to his heart. I call it being Twitter-pated. You are the only part of his creation that causes his heart to turn over. In Song of Solomon 4, I believe it's 9, it says, "Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse." I hear God in that. You are the sister and brother. You are the spouse he's talking about. And when he said, "You've ravished his heart," that means you cause his heart to turn over, to flip-flop. The God, the only God, that's what you do to him. Bad breath and all. It's an amazing thing. I mean, what a miracle. We have got to open up and surrender. That precious song that was sung, "I Surrender," that stop trying to be perfect. Just be you. Just the way you are is what causes his heart to beat faster. Yes. And the minute you turn to him, you're turning in prayer. You're turning in, and I'm a big believer in this, you turn and give an offering. You turn and bless a neighbor. You turn and you pick up someone who has fallen. You turn and hug someone. Those kinds of things cause something to happen to his heart. Because you are exercising a love that's not phileo love. It's not the philanthropeia love. It's not the Dode Ahab love, that illicit love. It's agape. It means you're beginning to function in that kind of love that is mentioned in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That doesn't just mean life forevermore in the sweet by and by. That's everlasting Zoe here. That's everlasting, overwhelming, abundant, glory to God, hallelujah, blood-bought, shouting and rocking and rolling love and life. I mean, this is what he wants for you. He doesn't want you just to hang by your fingertips. He doesn't want you to just be dragging through life with like you're dragging a big ball and chain with you. No, he came to set you free. And he sent a miracle into your heart. When you received the Holy Spirit, guess what came in with the Holy Ghost? You know, salvation is totally free. Totally free. You do not earn it. You don't qualify for it except being lost. That qualifies you. You are totally given a free gift. But there are some things that are available to you that you must pursue. That's why he says, pursue love. It's not just something that is suddenly you love everybody. You know, it'll stir every loving bone in your body when you come to Christ. You will phileo everybody. You'll have that philanthropeia love, and you'll start giving. Philanthropy, that's where that giving comes in. That's a type of love. And that sexual love comes in. Suddenly, we found this unusual occurrence in the Bible school. Every pretty girl in the class was getting prophecies that they were supposed to marry this so-and-so. I mean, I had a precious young girl come into my room, because I worked for the Bible college, and she was so upset because she'd received this word that she was supposed to marry this man, and he was twice as old as she was, and she didn't have any arrows for him. She didn't even have philanthropia for him. And she was quickly losing her flail. That brotherly love. I said, baby, that's a false prophecy. And then I went to the man who gave it to her and I said, you knock that off. Come on. It happened to be the man who wanted to marry her. I know there's a word for self-love also. But agapeo, did you know that agape has a plural, and that plural is agapeia, and it literally means love feasts or the Lord's Supper. It's when everyone is gathered together at the table of the Lord. And you can have a love feast in your home when you invite people over and you're sharing what you have and you're eating and sharing. That's a love feast. That's agapeia. That's that plural kind of love. You're stirring it up. Every time you have communion, you're stirring up that special kind of love. Every time you go and have dinner with someone or you invite them out to lunch, you're stirring up that special kind of love. It's an active love. It's not a passive love. It does cost you something. Remember I said this, salvation's free? But the gifts, the blessing, oh, you prepare your heart. You surrender and surrender and surrender, and you're coming deeper into the blessings. The love of God is growing stronger, and then something starts happening. Suddenly you start thinking the way God thinks. You start thinking the thoughts of God. You start understanding how to deliver a word. You conquer your fear. You suddenly see the answer for your children or for yourself. You suddenly see a pathway where there had been no pathway. It's because you're stirring up and pursuing the kind of love that births the blessings mentioned in the word. And it takes that kind of love to do it. That philanthropia love will not do it. Your phileo love will not do it. And that dode love, that weird eros kind of love, will not do it. Only agape. Only this love. He's commanding you to pursue. And notice, he speaks about that before the spiritual gifts. If you're activating the spiritual gifts and you're not functioning in agape love, you're coming short in the gift. You're coming short. You're missing the mark. Your gift will always be shallow. Your prophetic words will always be small until you learn to love the body of Christ with that agape love. I can't tell you how many times when I was in that auditorium there and my heart would be pounding and I knew God had given me a prophetic word when I would say, Father, I need that more love to deliver this. I have to love the people enough to conquer my fear of man. I have to have more love. And suddenly something would shift. And I'd march down to the mic. Everyone thought I was so courageous. I was not courageous. My legs were shaking so hard I could hardly stand. But God, that love was growing in me for the body, for his precious children. That's why you exercise the gifts. You're growing in love. And as you grow in love, you will be willing to pursue it and to desire. Ooh, stir up that desire. That word desire, it means to desire intensely, to pursue ardently with your whole heart, eagerly pursuing. following after him, crying out for more of him. I could feel that in the room tonight. Even while we were singing, I could feel my heart saying, more! I have to have more! More! That's desire. And he said here, desire spiritual gifts. There are spiritual gifts in him that we have barely tapped into. There is revelation that is far beyond anything that we know here in our five sense existence. There is a path of wisdom that's deep, ancient wisdom. The key to unlock those things is this kind of love. But it costs you something. It's eternal. Once it's stirred in you, it's not going to die down. There will be people who come into your life that will challenge that love, that will be iron sharpening iron. I guarantee you. In fact, I can pretty much say everyone in this room already has someone like that in their life. Please don't raise your hand and don't look at your neighbor. That person is a gift to you. That person is the one who's going to help you come up higher so that you can come into a higher realm of functioning in the gifts of the Spirit. So that you can walk up to some leader and say, God has given you the Navajo Nation. And hit it right on the head. It's love. Pursue love. Come on. Will you turn with me to Romans 5, verse 5? This is a very important scripture for this message. Romans 5, verse 5. Notice verse 3. I told the Lord one time I didn't know how to do this. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. That's endurance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, that's agape, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who was given to us. You must have the Holy Ghost. You must have the Holy Ghost. I am unashamedly a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered, tongues-talking Holy Ghoster. I love the Holy Ghost. I'm crazy about him, and he is crazy about me. He can't help himself. I mean, it's his fault. He's the one who saved me. He's the one that gave me the robe of righteousness. I didn't have any righteousness of my own. It's his fault. He's the one that put on my feet shoes, preparation for the gospel of peace. He did it. He's the one that girded the loins of my mind with his word. He did it. He's the one that called me by name. I didn't call myself by name. He did it. It's his fault. Oh, how I love him. What if he had not come? What if he had not been sent? Jesus told the disciples, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. Until you are endued, that's totally infused down to the subatomic level, from the top of your head down to every toe on your foot. Every cell every cell vibrating, saturated, full of the Holy Ghost, and absolutely causing something in you that pursues him. You become like a magnet, he becomes like a magnet to you, and you're drawn to him. Oh, I feel so sorry for people who are not drawn to the Holy Ghost. Don't they know he's our down payment? He's the earnest of our inheritance. And our inheritance is so great. So great that he gave us his Son. Then he gave us his Holy Spirit. And now we're going to have him. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. What a shocking thing. What a shocking statement to make. I make it unashamedly. I'm claiming my full inheritance. I want all that he is. He said I could have it. I am not going to settle for less. I am not going to settle for less. I will not let the devil cheat me out of one thing. Not one thing. Makes me mad that he even tries. Come on. Come on. Surrender so you can war. Come on. Come on. You have an inheritance worth pressing in for. I mean, you can not only lay hold of an inheritance in this, your territory, your ground, but your family. Listen, in my family, there was one person that I thought was the hardest one to reach. Boy, he was a rascal. Steve, he was a mess. Boy, God saved him, filled him with the Holy Ghost, turned him upside down and made a preacher out of him. I could hardly believe it. Wow. Same thing happened with my husband's family. I had been ministering to his family, and there was one brother, I loved him dearly. He was just so handsome that he didn't need anything. You know what I mean? I thought he would be the last one to come in. He would drive in from Northway, which is a 7-hour trip near the border, to come to our house, to get there right around midnight to ask me questions about the Holy Ghost. Then he'd drive back because he had to go to work. He did that for weeks. Until one day I said, why don't you just surrender? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your family is a piece of cake to God. Don't think your family's tougher than our God. Come on. I mean, listen, that son is not tougher than our God. That spouse is not greater than our God. There is only one God, and it's not your spouse, and it's not your son. I just, you know, just thought you'd want to know that. Come on, quit putting them on a pedestal. Goodness, they mean... Come on, they've got feet of clay like the rest of us. Pursue that love. It's been shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says. Agape denotes an undefeatable love. Undefeatable. I'm going to ask you some questions, so pay attention. An unquenchable, unconquerable goodwill that always, always, always seeks the highest good for another person, not for yourself, no matter what that person does. Woo! Whoa, that's pretty tough. Whoa. All right, now talk to me about this. What does it mean, undefeatable? Don't give up. It never loses. What was that? It never fails. Constant. Victorious. Undefeatable. Unconquerable. What does that tell you? It cannot be overcome. Who tries to overcome it? The enemy. We have an enemy who goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, right? He came to kill and destroy, yes. But with this love, you cannot be conquered. What if you just have that Eros love? Can that be conquered? Yeah. Handsome guy, cute little chicky poo, and suddenly your love goes out the window. Happens again and again. And on the internet. I mean, the drop of a hat, people are throwing that love away. Because it has to, it depends on feeling. It's very feeling oriented, physical. But there's something deep inside of us. I was driving down the road one time, down Muldoon Road, early in the morning, and standing by the side of the road was this little man. I'd only been filled with the Holy Spirit for 3 days at that point. And remember, the agape love is shed abroad by whom? The Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't have a clue what agape love was at that point. I was just brand new in being filled with the Spirit. And I had spent most of my Christian walk polishing the outside of my cup so I would look good. That's all I knew. And here this Holy Ghost came in and just turned everything upside down. So I see this man standing by the side of the road, and he's dressed in shabby clothes, hunched over. He was probably in his 50s, and he was carrying a little black lunchbox. I didn't know who he was. And I just turned and looked at him. The minute I looked at him, something shot out of my heart to that man, and I loved him with every fiber of my being. I would gladly have laid my life down for him. I would do anything that man needed. The love was so overwhelming, it made me gasp. And I was gasping, trying to lay hold of this feeling that flooded me and flowed out to him like a physical thing. I felt it flow toward him. Boy, I'd love to ask him if he felt anything. Because that's that supernatural love of God. And it was in me. Just this little ordinary lady. I wasn't even skilled in the things of the Holy Ghost. I had just one syllable to my prayer language. I mean, I was really hindered. But that was in me. And if you have the Holy Ghost, it's in you. It's in you. So when God is telling you to pursue agape, it's in you. Come on, stir up. Stir up the gifts. Come on, stir up that love. Come on, we can do this. Even while I'm saying it, it's getting bigger on the inside of me. I can feel it in my heart. Something's happening. Speak to your soul right now. Come on, soul. Come on, agape, rise up within me. By the Holy Ghost, you have to have the Holy Ghost to have this kind of love. The other, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can have lots of the other kind of love, lots of it. But if you want to be successful, you have to move into this kind of love. Whoa, and it's only by the Holy Ghost. Now in John 13, 34 to 35. John 13. I hear the pitter-patter of beautiful feet. 34. A new commandment I give you. A new commandment. They already had the Big Ten. You know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not honor thy mother and thy father, that'll go well with you, and you live long in the land, etc., etc. You'll have no other gods before me. You know, the Big Ten. They already had that. Here, he's saying, he's giving you a new commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is not just a feeling. This is not just a preference. This is not just warm affection. This is not just fondness. This is a decision, a commitment to pursue this kind of love for one another. And there will be those. You know, I like to talk about those because I have those. You know, that stretch you a little bit. And I kind of like people. I mean, I'm fortunate. I've always liked people. And the more different they are, the more I like them. You know, they're beautiful to me. They worship differently. They dress differently. They look different. I love them. I do. God wants you to love people with his kind of love. Start with your neighbors. Do you know your neighbor's name? My friend Ann across the street. Father, bless my friend Ann. And to the east of us, Bob and Alice. Father, bless Bob and Alice and their two children. And yes, Brad, Lord, to the right, bless him. Heal him from that divorce, Lord. Bless him. Oh, and that family with the five girls behind us. Oh, bless them, Father. Do you know your neighbors? The day is going to come when your neighbors will need you. Do you hear me? They will need you. They will need the word of truth that you carry. They may need a meal. They may need a warm coat. But they will need you. And the Lord is saying to you, love one another. By this, they will know that you belong to the King. If you have love for one another, it is a commitment and a way of behavior. If we behave lovingly to one another, listen, schisms, disputes, defamation of character. Do you know what defamation of character is? That's when you see the pastor and you're saying to the pastor or whoever the preacher is, moi, tonight. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's okay, but, you know, she's going out the door. She doesn't have it. You know, she's not nearly as good as Billy Graham. I could have told you that. But, you know, there's a way of speaking that tears someone down. Gossip, defamation of character. Making them less than so you look better. That's, you're giving them the big, you're the big I, they're the little you. In other words, they're less than, you're putting them beneath you. That is not agape. That's that love that has a beginning and an ending. That's a love that does not survive and will not survive what is coming upon the earth. Now, one thing that I have purposed in my heart is that I will do everything in me to prepare you for what I see coming. And I will do everything I know to give you what I know you're going to need so that you're ready. And in your time, you're standing and you're someone who'll give to your neighbors who have need. I tell you what, God is knitting us together with an unusual kind of love, and it's by choice. The word of the Lord says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those whose heart is fully committed. That's agape to him. That's what he's looking for. Those that have pursued that kind of love. It's a choice. You make a choice to pursue it. And it isn't always easy. I know that. I mean, you know, we're in the flesh. But God has enabled us. It's by the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of love. He is all that we need. He will give us all that we need. Be teachable. Let every situation be a teachable situation for you. Good or bad, a teachable situation for you. Because one of the things I have learned about my wonderful Heavenly Father is that He will always do what is right. Now remember what I said about agape? Agape is God's willful, deliberate direction, focus on man. And it involves, this is agape, God doing what he knows is best for man, not necessarily what man desires. I mean, I can't tell you, you know, I'm very real with the Lord. I just told him I just thought the strategy sucked. Surely there was a better way we could have done this. I mean, you know, logically, you know, for my kids. You know, and I'm functioning on that very fleshly level when I do that. I asked the Lord recently why his strategy was taking so long. In an area that I've been pressing into for about 25 years. And he spoke back to me. Yay! Glory to God! He said, suffering has to finish her work in you. And the work is done slowly so you are not destroyed in the process. Huh. Okay. All right, I'm looking at it with God's eyes now. It's because of his love. It's because of his kindness. It's because of his goodness. Everything that happens, everything, it has a purpose. Listen to this. All things, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Is it to everybody? To those that agape God. For those who are called according to his purpose. That's a setting forth, a before time, an advance plan. His original destiny for you that was already determined before you were even conceived. The reason you were conceived is because he had this plan for you. He knew it was going to be costly. He knew it was going to hurt. That's why he sent his own son. Not someone else's son. He could have done that, you know. He is God. He sent his own son to suffer and die for you so that you could fulfill your destiny. And he knew it was going to cost you something. Now, I want to suggest something to you. When suffering hits and it guts you, I'm talking about the kind of suffering that guts you. Who feels it? You feel it. The Holy Ghost who lives inside of you feels it. And Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, feels it. They are not separate from you. You are one with God. Your sufferings become His sufferings. Your pain becomes His pain. Now, multiply that by everyone in this room. Multiply it by everyone being slaughtered in the Middle East. Multiply it by those that are starving in India, China. Multiply it. The suffering is unspeakable. It's so great. But Jesus made a way. The Holy Spirit made a way. There is a way to come out of that worldly suffering into your destiny in Him. Something in you gets bigger and stronger and grows up. And suddenly, I was babysitting my great-grandchildren this week, and little Lyndon came up to me just howling. He's 4 years old, and he was deeply, deeply wounded because he had an owie that was so small I could hardly see it. But it was great to him. He was just howling, and he needed me to hear him. He needed me to hear his pain. And I said, "Oh, baby, I am so sorry. Shall we go put a Band-Aid on it?" "Yes." Now he's got a badge of honor. We are carrying badges of honor. Come on. I know the wound is great to us. I know that. I know that. But God is coming alongside, and He's strengthening us on the inside so that which wounded us 1 year will never wound us to that degree again. We will never be wounded to that degree again. And to the degree that you've been gutted, He's pouring in the wine and the oil. Those aren't just words. The oil of the Holy Ghost, the wine, His presence, Him. He's literally pouring Him in that wound. And suddenly you are bigger on the inside than you were before. And you'll never go back to the way you were before. Yes, it was costly. I told you agape costs you. It costs you because you embrace your own cross. You embrace your destiny and everything along it that is geared to cause you to mature and set you free. He will always do what is right. You cannot find fault with Him. Believe me, I've tried. Never worked. I knew even when I was trying that I was falling short. Couldn't do it. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Corinthians are good. Whew. Listen to this. Oh, this is good. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, those who agape Him, those who trust Him even though they feel like everything has ended, those that trust Him even when they feel disappointed, those that trust Him even when they don't understand, those that trust Him even when they want to give up, those that trust Him. He has prepared things for them, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. I love the Holy Ghost. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man? Who? Except the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know. That we might know. That's revelation. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The natural man. The Holy Spirit teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man. That's the man who has a philanthropeo love. This is the natural man who has phileo love. This is the natural man who has that dod eros love. They do not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Revelation is given to those who are pursuing agape love. Those that are laying down their own natural affection and picking up that eternal love of God. Who have determined, I don't care what you say, I'm going to love you to the end of my days and beyond. It's not just the love that's phileo, eros. It's deep. It's lasting. It does not end. And you choose to pursue it. You choose to pursue it. It was given you when you received the Holy Ghost. It was given you. But you have to pursue it. You have to stir it up. You have to exercise it. You make a choice. God gave you a choice. I love the fact that he gave us this choice. Now, Romans 8. I want to go back to Romans 8 because I saw something there. Listen to this. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. That includes the devil and every demon. They're created. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He cannot separate us from this love. This love makes us more than conquerors. Hooper nikau. Nikau is a word for conquering. Hooper is more than. That means over and above. You don't just conquer. You are abundantly conquering. You are super victorious. You win more than ordinary victories. You don't just overpower in a normal sense. You achieve abundant victory. You are like Secretariat that left the whole group of horses way behind. He won by 30 lengths, not just one length, which would be a great win, or two, it shocked the announcers when he began to pass 10 lengths, 20 lengths, 30. He was a super conqueror. You are a super conqueror. Ephesians 3, I'm going to close with this. And we're going to share the Lord's table tonight as we go out. Ephesians 3. Revelation is being revealed by his Spirit. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You have a agape love in you. That you, being rooted and grounded, listen to that, rooted and grounded in love, in agape, press in until that agape not only takes root, but it bears fruit, and you are grounded. Then you'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Isn't that something? He says you're going to know this love, but it's a love that passes knowledge. It's the love that shot out of my heart to that strange man by the side of the road. I didn't comprehend how, where it came from, or I knew it was love. I loved him, but I didn't know why I loved him. It just shot out of me. But you will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to that. This is the key to being filled with all the fullness of God. And you make a choice. That doesn't mean you become a doormat. Please. But it means that you have the love of God. It means you hold your tongue and you pray before you speak when someone's unkind to you. It means that you know God is good and you go to him for the answers until the answer comes. It means that when he stirs upon you to do something that normally you wouldn't do, you know that he will enable you to do it. And God will bring you into a place in him where the fullness of God is revealed in you. I can't even comprehend that. That's so great and so big because the Holy Ghost is God. And when he filled me, he changed me forever. Instantly, overnight, I was changed. And that was just the Holy Ghost. Just the Holy Ghost. Sorry, Holy Ghost. But the fullness of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that's the fullness of God. I don't even think my physical body could handle it. But I'm pursuing it. I'm pursuing love. Let's get ready to take communion. I want you to just pray for a minute. One thing we do at the communion table, we examine our hearts, right? So let's examine our hearts right now. Is there anything you just need to ask God to forgive you for? What about that person that hurt you? One of the words tonight said that God was going to heal you from your struggle with a father figure. Now's the time. Now's the time to forgive. His body was broken so you could find healing. His blood was poured out so you could find forgiveness. And tonight is a night of choice. Pursue love. Go deeper in him tonight. Ask him to change you. Don't leave the same. Lay behind old fears, old disappointments, lack of understanding, even angry at the way God's plan for your life has turned out. Now's the time to lay it down.